Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a joy that happens when hearing turns to seeing. I saw it happen once at a baptismal party. Hattie and Floyd had moved up to Detroit, left most of their extended family down in the deep south, and so they rarely got to see them. But when Hattie's granddaughter was baptized, she threw a big party. And so there we were in this small backyard in Detroit with this large gathering of people, people bumping into one another they hadn't seen in years, and taking joy in seeing one another's company. And there in the back by the above-ground pool in this little chair, this white and green lawn chair, sat Hattie's sister. And she kept saying, "Bring the baby over here, bring the baby over here." And Hattie brought Deandra over to her sister, and she looked at the baby, and she said, "It is so nice to see you. I have heard about you for so long. It is so nice to finally see you." And she took that baby and cradled her in love. There is a joy that happens when hearing turns to seeing. And that is the joy we celebrate today. Today is the dedication of these stained glass windows, and these stained glass windows are a threefold gift. First, they are a gift from the Finke family. The Eugene E. and Nell S. Finke Memorial Trust has generously provided the funds for the seminary to purchase and install these windows, and we thank our donors for caring about the spiritual life of this place. Second, they are a gift from Rich Buswell. Rich Buswell was the senior artist and creative designer at Lynchburg Stained Glass, who sat in on all of our meetings and listened to our half-formed thoughts and put them into beautiful pictures. But third, and most importantly, these windows are a gift from God. He formed us to be visual creatures, people who not only hear, but see. And today, Jesus invites us to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, that we might rejoice in his everlasting love. So as a sermon for the dedication of the windows, that will be my theme. Two parts. Jesus invites us to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, that we might rejoice in his everlasting love. Jesus invites us to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. And unfortunately, we need that invitation, because we are creatures who so often glance rather than gaze. I recently took up beekeeping. And so I have a whole bunch of pictures of my beehives on my phone. And when we had the symposium here in the fall, a friend of mine came and we were talking about what's going on. I told him I was beekeeping. He said, "I'd love to come see your hive." And I'm like, "Hey, I got a picture." So I pulled up a picture of my bees on my phone, gave it to him, and he glanced at the picture. He didn't gaze. How do I know? Well, because I gave him my phone with the picture on it, and he looked at it, and he swiped. And suddenly, a beekeeping photo became a glass of scotch on a table. Another one of my hobbies. It was a rough week. And he kind of shakes and he's like, oh, "I'm sorry. I didn't mean to look at your personal picture." So now scotch is a personal picture, right? "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to look at your personal picture. I'm just so used to swiping through photos." We are accustomed to glancing rather than gazing. We swipe through our photos, we scroll through our posts, we skim through our emails, we scan through our playlists, and that's okay for a lot of the stuff that we're covering. But it's not okay when you glance at people And it's certainly not okay to glance at God. Your friend calls you up and she starts talking to you about her daughter, and it's a conflicted relationship, and you've been down this road, and it goes nowhere, and it is a long journey, and you just do not have time for it today, and so you quickly change the conversation. God has brought a woman who is suffering into your life, and you glance at her rather than gaze. You're sick, and you don't want to spread your cold, so you decide rather than go to in-person worship, you'll worship online. And so you get the computer set up, and you've got the service starting, and there's this prelude that for some reason is never ending. And so you figure, I'm going to get a bowl of cereal, right? So you get a bowl of cereal, you come back, and you're eating your cereal, and somebody texts you, and you start answering the text. And while the people in worship are confessing their sins, you're committing yours, right? You're glancing at God rather than gazing. Or worse yet, you actually go to in-person worship and you're frustrated that it's so empty now after COVID. And where are the people? Why haven't they come back? And you're glancing around at all the people who aren't there rather than gazing at the one who is and who has come to forgive you your sin. As people, we glance rather than gaze. And it is a blessing this morning to have this text from Jesus, because he invites us to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. You see, Jesus has caught his disciples in a glance. He has sent them out in mission, 72 of them. They've gone throughout scattered places, and they've been living in people's homes. They've been sharing the peace. They've been teaching about the kingdom. They've been healing people. And when they come back, what do they say? They say, Lord, the demons are subject to us in your name. They are gazing at themselves and glancing at God. I mean, it's understandable that they're excited that the demons could obey them in Jesus' name. I mean, after all, remember when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration? He comes down and there's an argument at the bottom. A man has brought his son who's demon-possessed to the disciples. The disciples can't cast out the demon, right? And so they have learned that they can't control the demons. And now they go out and they come back, and these demons are obedient to them in Jesus' name. And so they are gazing at themselves and what they are able to do. But they're not celebrating that some poor child's life has been changed because a demon has been cast out. And Jesus looks them deep in the eye and he says, I was watching Satan fall like lightning. And with those words, Jesus invites them to enter into a much larger story. Jesus takes these scattered places where they have been visiting, and he suddenly weaves them in to this ever-present working of the kingdom of God. Jesus helps the disciples see that now is a moment when hearing is turning into seeing. For generations, they have heard that there will come one who will stomp on Satan's skull. They have heard it, but now they're starting to see it. It's right there in their midst with Jesus. And Jesus invites them to see how they are part of God's greater story. That's what Jesus does in this text, inviting disciples to see the beauty of the Lord. And that's what these windows do in this place. These windows are based on the Te Deum, right? An ancient hymn of the church. We've sung it since the 4th century. Since the 4th century, we've been singing and hearing those words. And now what we hear we begin to see surrounding us. And when you come into this chapel, it is hard not to see how you are woven into a much greater story. These windows are filled with the saints of God. You have apostles and prophets and martyrs and the whole Christian church on earth gathering and praising God. And Jesus calls you to gaze on the beauty of the Lord because he has brought you into a greater story. There was a woman I used to visit at Fairview Baptist Nursing Home. And there was this bureau in her room, and on that bureau she had 5 or 6 photos, and there was always one photo that haunted me. It was a photo of Easter. It was her childhood photo. Her dad and her mom and their 2 daughters were sitting on what looked like the stoop of a house, something you'd see in South St. Louis. Her dad was wearing a suit with a really thin tie. Her mom was in a dress with this big corsage on her shoulder. And Marie was in front of her father. She was wearing a dress. She had her hands in gloves, and they were folded and perfectly positioned on her perfectly positioned knees. But her sister, well, her sister was wearing a dress, but her legs were awkwardly skewed. And if you look closely in the corner of the photo, I don't think it was supposed to be there, but the corner of the photo was a brace and a crutch that her sister, who had polio, used. And they took away their daughter's brace and crutch to celebrate Easter. Why would you just glance at the suffering? Why not gaze? For Easter is about how Jesus has conquered sin and death and brought all suffering into his reign. That is the day. That is the day to gaze on suffering and proclaim Jesus as Christ and Lord. I wish Marie was alive today. I wish Marie was alive. I'd invite her and her sister to come into this chapel. I'd invite them to sit over there by that Feast of Nations window, because if they sat over there, they might glance, and if they glanced, they might gaze. There you have a picture of people gathering around the Lord's table, and there on the right-hand side is a man in a brown tunic, right? And his right hand is reaching up, receiving body and blood of our Lord, and his left arm is leaning on a crutch. Because the beauty of the Lord is that he brings all people, regardless of their ability, into his kingdom. Jesus invites us to gaze on the beauty of the Lord so that we know there is always a place for us at his table. So that's the first point. Jesus invites us to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. I do have a second. Sorry about that. It's going to be long. It won't be too long. Second point is that we might rejoice in his everlasting love. There is a joy that happens when seeing turns into hearing, but there's also a joy that happens when seeing turns into someone seeing you. I know a woman who taught me that. I was teaching a Bible class dealing with stained glass and art, and she was telling the Bible class how stained glass can change over the years. She had her window, right? It was a window of the Good Shepherd. They didn't donate it. She just always sat there, right? So she hogged the Good Shepherd window for all of her life. So she's got the Good Shepherd window. I'm sure you've seen it. Jesus holding a lamb, other lambs around his side. And she said, you know, when I was younger and a mother and sitting there with my daughter in my arms, I used to see myself in that window. I used to see how I was caring for my daughter like Jesus was caring for that lamb. And then one of the other members said, and now? And she said, well, and now my husband is gone, my daughters have moved away, and I sit alone in that pew. And when I look at the window, I see Jesus holding on to me. There is a joy that happens when seeing turns into someone seeing you. And that's the mystery of this gospel reading. Jesus takes his disciples from seeing this larger kingdom to suddenly seeing someone seeing them. He says to them, "Do not rejoice. Do not rejoice that you are able to cast out demons in my name, but rejoice in this, that your names have been written eternally in heaven. Rejoice that there is a God who sees and saves you." Jesus is a Lord who sees and who saves. He sees Nicodemus late in the night. He sees Zacchaeus in a sycamore tree and invites himself into his home. He sees Matthew at a tax collector's booth and brings him into the company of his disciples. He sees Peter, remember? He sees Peter in that boat. The boat is sinking because of this miraculous draught of fish, and Peter is on his knees in the water with his hands covered in his hands, crying out, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful, sinful being." And Jesus does not leave. Why? Because he has come to see sinners and to save them. He has come to drink the wrath of God's cup of wrath, of the punishment of our sin. He's come to die our death and defeat death by rising from the grave. He's come to rule over all things, and he promises to come again and bring about a new creation. And this is what we can see in one window that I'd like to close the sermon by gazing at. It's the front window. And it's one detail that is found in only that window. Notice how the face of Jesus has him looking at you. All of the other windows, nobody is looking at you. The angels are desiring to look into the story of salvation. They're looking at figures. Moses is looking out into the wilderness. Ruth is looking at David. David is looking up to God. An angel's looking at Isaiah. An angel's looking at Daniel. Philip is looking at the text. And the Ethiopian eunuch is looking at the water. Nobody. Nobody is looking at you in any of these windows until you look at this one. And Jesus is gazing at you. That is so important. Because there are some days, there are some days that you swear nobody sees you. Nobody. You are so, so tired of fighting. So tired of fighting that you just want to lay down your arms and walk away, and you don't think anybody will notice. You're so tired of hurting, and you hate the way your hurting is causing you to hurt people. When you look at the things you say, the things you do, you can't even look in the mirror at yourself. And when that happens, come here into this chapel, because here you will see Jesus risen, ruling, and always, always watching over you. He is your Savior who sees and who saves. These windows are overwhelming in their beauty, but the true beauty of the windows is that they overwhelm us with Christ's love. Jesus invites you to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, that you might rejoice in his everlasting love. Amen.